Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn.
And I'm Laura Jackson.
And in today's podcast, we are talking about that wonderful feeling of being in love. Oh, and basically not just about being in love, but how love and the feeling of love and what love does to your brain, how that actually affects your health. I find this stuff really cool. I find it super interesting because love is actually an emotion that is so extremely powerful that it can have major effects on your human body, on the human body itself. And so it's just one of those things that I think is really cool and interesting how something that's so beautiful can cause so much like emotional response and physical response in our bodies.
Well, that's why I find it so cool, because it's something that's like, it's inanimate. Like, it's not tangible. You can't touch it. You can't smell it. You can't taste it. You can only feel it. But then the actual reactions that it has, from anything from like your skin to your, you know, hormonal levels to anything, there's so many different things that it affects, but it's like, it's so weird because it's just something like you can't see or touch, but you know it's there and you can feel it.
I know. It's so interesting to me. So, well, one of the things that, you know, when you are in love, and when we talk about love, it can be like you're in love with like another person. It can be with an animal. It's just like the feelings of love and what that creates in your body. And one of the things that happens is oftentimes, have you ever noticed when you're in love and all of a sudden you start feeling really nervous when you're going to see that person, or you know what I mean? Like, you, even when you think about them, you get that nervous feeling in your stomach. You start feeling like almost like you're going to be sick, or like you have those butterflies and that excitement feeling. And like really like almost, it's like almost like a good anxiety, right?
Totally.
And that's actually, that feeling is actually associated to a hormone that is called, and I might say it wrong, so you might have to correct me, Laura, because I always pronounce things incorrectly, norepinephrine.
Norepinephrine.
I can't say it. I know. I'm like reading it. I'm like, norepinephrine. Say it again.
Norepinephrine. Because there's norepinephrine.
Got it. Okay. I don't know why I have, it's the same thing with people's names. For some reason, when I hear people's names, I say it the way I read it. You know what I mean? Like I don't know why. It's just, it's like a bizarre thing.
Oh, it's like one of our instructors for the holistic nutrition weight loss expert. She works in, I can't even say it, live blood microscopy. Like when I read it spelled, it's microscopy. But when I try to say it all together, microscopy, I end up like peeing. So I'm like, oh my God, I sound like such an idiot. But my tongue just won't roll it off. I don't know why.
Well, okay. So anyway, so that hormone in particular, the one that I've totally butchered, is the hormone that's actually responsible for those feelings. So it's the hormone that is, when you are in love, you have this hormonal response that has that like butterfly feeling. So when, you know, or like when your cheeks get red and you start feeling really flushed or something when you see them or whatever the case may be, it's like that same sort of response that's happening in your body. And so it's the same sort of thing as what happens. It's almost like adrenaline in your body, right? And so rather than thinking of it as like, oh my gosh, what's happening? Just know that that's actually just a natural hormone response that's happening for love in particular, which I think is super cool.
Well, yeah, because the thing with norepinephrine, like it's very similar to adrenaline. So mm-hmm. It basically is part, they're part of a family called catecholamines, the big fancy word for them. But they're like a neurotransmitter. So what ends up happening is it's like basically the same thing as when you get that rush of adrenaline. That's really what's kind of happening when you start to see or, you know, feel love or see someone you're attracted to. It's the same thing. That's why your heartbeat gets quicker. That's why you get flushed, because it's like, basically it's the same thing when you think about when your adrenaline starts pumping, when you're ready to go, it's the same, you know, it's the same reaction.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so cool. And did you ever wonder, I mean, this is one of the things too that I find really cool about love is how do you know, like when you have that feeling of like, you just, you need to be around that person all the time, when you just feel like you're like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I'm actually addicted to that person. And this
I have not felt that way in a long time.
I love
my fiance, don't get me wrong, but it's like, it's no, but this is where this ties into it, because when it's you, it's totally different than when you've been with somebody for a long time. And again, that goes back to the hormones that are released when you and that's why sometimes too, you suddenly feel like, oh my God, I feel like I felt like I'm falling in love with you all over again. Because a lot of times after overexposure, those hormones aren't released anymore. And you're like, okay, why do I not feel, you know what I mean? I don't feel that same way as when I first did.
Mm-hmm. And the, just so anyone listening, the hormone that's actually released, it's dopamine that is released that gives you that addicted feeling, that gives you that feeling of like, euphoria, like where you're just like, oh my gosh, like I need to see this person. I need to be next to them. Like I need to like smell them or touch them or whatever the case may be. And it literally is like, they say that dopamine releases is basically like a response similar to like drugs. So you actually are like addicted. And isn't it the same? Isn't dopamine the same thing? And this is like not to like take away anything from love, but isn't dopamine the same thing that's also released when you eat cheese?
Well, it's the same as released when you eat sugar, when you eat sugar, when you take drugs. Like those are the same. They're all a part of our feel good chemicals and they hit our feel good center. So it's like, literally, it's like that's when you're feeling all like euphoric and lovey-dovey and like happy, you know, even though, again, this could be a good love for you. It could be just a toxic tryst, but it still gives you that feeling like you have if you're like, you know, eat chocolate.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. And I know that there's actually a new study out there, and this is totally digressing, but there's a new study out there too that was actually saying that people are receiving, there's so much like dopamine releasing when people are using like smartphones and tablets and stuff like that, that people are actually physically addicted to their phones now. And it's because it's the same chemical response that's being released to their brain that gets released when they take drugs. Like it's similar to heroin. And so it's like, it's crazy to me to think that something that can get released when you are in love with a person can happen while you also eat sugar or eat cheese or use your cell phone. That to me is so bizarre, but I guess it all makes sense that it's just like this pleasure response, right? So people that are really into, I guess, their tablets and whatnot, they have that same connection that keeps happening in their brain.
Well, and actually this is why a lot of these, you know, food companies, food additive companies, people who develop these cell phone apps and games, they study this. They study the reactions in your brain. They actually have like people in there and they're reading their brain waves to see how they're actually reacting to these, because obviously they know it will sell if you're having that feeling.
Totally. So bizarre. It's so crazy though to me. It's just crazy to me how your brain can affect you in so many ways and release so many different chemicals to make you think or feel different things, you know? And so, Laura, question, it's like a little pop quiz for you. Do you know what is released that gives you basically that more sort of like when you kiss someone, for example, do you know what hormone is transferred to give you that greater feeling of attraction? I know that you know this because you talk about it at our retreats often.
When I talk about oxytocin?
Yeah.
the cuddle hormone. I always talk about
exactly.
Everyone's always like, oh, well, it's a very interesting hormone. And like the studies that they've done on it, essentially like, It's pretty much released from any skin to skin contact. So it's also known as like the mothering hormone, which kind of makes it sound weird. What am I about to say? But it's all about, you know, it's the same hormone that induces labor. It induces lactation. But it's also released during like in higher levels during an orgasm or after an orgasm. So this is where, because again, it's the bonding hormone. This, I was reading a study about how for women, it takes 14 days to clear this hormone fully. So that's why a lot of times, ladies, if you're listening, and I always say this at a retreat, like if you've had like a little fling, and you know how you're like, this guy is, or girl is not my type at all. And the next thing you know, you're
but
like,
I don't know what it is. I'm just really into them.
You suddenly have a fling with them and then you're like, I totally could date them. Yeah, like this amazing. And then 14 days go by and you're like, what the heck was I thinking? The difference is too, is for men, apparently this kind of state of, you know, crazy, love crazy after having sex or after an orgasm, it lasts for 3 days. So that's why suddenly if you're like, why am I so into him and he's so not into me out of nowhere? Or he was a couple mm-hmm. days afterwards, now he's fallen off the planet a week later.
Now he's ghosting.
Yeah, this could be oxytocin. So it's one of those things, it's like, it's a really cool bond, like it's a really cool hormone, but it's also so important in everything we do in terms of just reducing stress, tapping into our parasympathetic system, which is our rest and digest. And that's why, you know, when at the retreats, we talk a lot about oxytocin because it is all about love. It's a hormone that is mainly released. And it is also, what ends up happening is it counteracts high levels of cortisol and brings the body back to balance. So mm-hmm. any activity that's going to promote oxytocin, and yes, one of them is sex, but also there's things like exercise, meditation, animals. Like, we're not just talking about love with other people, like moving your body in a loving way, you know, reading words that you love, seeing pictures you love, playing with your animals that you love, like all the things that are involved with eliciting that love response will help release more oxytocin, which then will help reduce a lot of health issues. So
now in that sense, can you overdose on oxytocin in the sense of like, can you overdo it? Not overdose, but can you overdo it in the sense of like, can you actually like love so much or like stay in that state for so long that all of a sudden your brain is just like releasing too much of that chemical? Can it affect your body?
I do not know that.
I'm just curious. I feel like you can never love too much, but I'm just curious, like, could it have some sort of an impact on your body just the way that like cortisol has, like there's a good level that you should have, but then you reach a certain point and it becomes a negative impact on your body. You know what I mean? So I'm wondering if there's any implications of like having too much, is too much of something always not good?
Well, yeah, you know? I probably, yes. Because the whole thing is too, right? We work on this balancing act. It's like when we talk about things like cortisol and, you know, long-term stress or cortisol levels being high, or, you know, you're constantly in like fight or flight mode. That is not good when it's too much. But if we didn't have those things, we wouldn't have the mechanisms to be able to, you know, cope if suddenly we were in a famine or, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like run out of the house if suddenly there's like a rabid wolf running it towards you. You know, we wouldn't be able to do those things. So yes, while elevated for a long period of time, we still need them. And I think it's probably vice versa. Like, of course, we always focus on all the benefits, but if you're always in parasympathetic, you're always resting and digesting, then you're probably not functioning in other ways, right? So it's like that balance.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to throw that one at you. I just was curious. I'm like, it makes me think, is it too much? Is too much like negative? But anyway,
The thing I find very interesting, and this is just speaking about like marriage and coupling. And so even recently they announced that, and I can't remember which country it was in. It was on TV and I like perked up. I'll find out what it is. And in a future podcast, I'll let you know. But in a country, I don't know if it's Canada or if it's another country, they're thinking about appointing a loneliness minister. So an actual...
I've heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like an actual government official who helps to talk about loneliness, because mm-hmm. it truly has become an epidemic in our society, because, you know, yes, we're more connected than ever, but we're so lonely because we're essentially just watching everybody else's life and we're not really living our own. And so we're like, you know, having superficial connections. Cause a lot of it too, again, the hormonal part comes from touching. Like there's different hormones that are released, touching versus the dopamine when you're staring at a video game. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually, in Britain that they are thinking about doing this. It's in the UK, about the loneliness minister. Mm-hmm. But we're lonelier than ever. And we need, like, for health reasons, like, it's insane how beneficial it is. And it always has been kind of fluffed off as like, oh, you know, the old lady with the cats kind of thing, like the spinster with the cats. Yeah. But a lot of people, it's truly is becoming a health issue. And there was actually a study that was done that they studied groups of people, and the happiest people was number one was married men, followed by, interestingly enough, single women, followed by
where are the married ladies?
By married women, and the least happiest were married men or unmarried men, single men. Because women too, we also have the coping mechanisms to be able to be single longer, because we build community more easy, we share our emotions easier. Again, another reason why the suicide rate in women is a lot lower than it is in men, because we can express ourselves a lot easier. Mm-hmm. But for men too, they don't typically, and this is statistically, this is not just my opinion, they don't typically do as well as they get older and they're alone.
Right.
And a lot of it too, I think, goes back to the hormones that are released when you're in love with somebody or have love in your life. And it just, there's so many benefits, immune system, like.
Well, no, and that's why I wanted to do this podcast today, because I thought, you know, we always focus on love, like just like, oh, you know, just the superficial sort of things that it does for you. But really there is an emotional response, and there's such a huge need for not only understanding how to increase those emotional responses and those hormones in your life, but also just understanding the connection between the two so that you can kind of appreciate it a little bit more, I think. And so the last one, the final one, and that happens, excuse me, I'm like losing my voice all of a sudden. I've been talking a lot today. The final sort of hormone that actually gets released in your body, do you know what it is, Laura? This is the one that you would probably be familiar with. I know I'm probably like right there. This is endorphins, and they get released with this feelings of attachment and comfort. So these are generally like couples who have been engaged or married, or, you know, if you've been in a long-term relationship or something along those lines, oftentimes that's the emotional and hormonal response that you'll receive, as opposed to, you know, like that initial sort of like the dopamine where you're just like, or the addictive sort of state, rather than being in that addictive state, like what you were talking about earlier, where you're like, I haven't felt that in a long time. You're probably feeling more of the endorphin state, which is more about the attachment and comfort and ease.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I find it's interesting when you're like, when you've been with somebody for a period of time, and then you're like, when you kind of take a step back and look at the stages of being with that person, and sometimes it's romantic and sometimes it's a friendship, you know, mm-hmm. but like different things, how you feel and how, I don't know. Sometimes I guess some things too that you take for granted after a period of time, because you've just kind of had them around a lot.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But I mean, this is more of like the actual hormonal and like responses that happen from your brain, just from like when you like see that person. When you see that person, you probably think like comfort, like you feel attached to them, you feel happy to see them, you feel comfortable around them, which is different than that feeling of when you first start like maybe dating someone and you're like, I need to see them. Oh my gosh, I miss them. And like all that, you know what I mean? Like it's such a different response that happens in our bodies. And it's due to these hormones. Also probably due to just also our like.
I feel like I might be actually be, maybe I'm a little bit, not resistant to them. What's the word? Not resistant. Why can't I think of the word right now? But basically, because endorphins are the same things that are released a lot when you exercise. So I think I'm like overexposed right. to them sometimes, because that feeling is like always there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. So you're just like, whatevs. This is how I always feel, yo.
Yeah, no, like, I don't know. It's very strange. I think I find it interesting, like, depending on the type of person you are too. I don't know. I find it very interesting. Like, we have some friends who are like super like, oh my God, I can't even live without my man. And we have other friends who are like, okay, I see my husband, like he travels all the time and I see him once in a while, you know, like, so it's whatever works for you and it's whatever, you know, you need in your life. But I just think, I think we're kind of at that place. And that's why I really find it interesting about this loneliness minister. I actually, sorry, as we're talking, I just pulled it up when I said to confirm that it is in the UK, and it was Theresa May who appointed it. And, they were saying that, you know, the highest rates, when I was just saying single men, the highest rates of suicide in men, in seniors are over 80 years old and alone. So it's really an epidemic. And
that's,
it's also
so heartbreaking.
It's also more dangerous to our health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day is to be lonely, because the actual, the what's happening within our bodies, again, the hormonal responses and what sadness and loneliness actually carries a really heavy weight. Because this is where at the retreat, the one thing that we talk about, and the reason why we talk a lot about oxytocin, is the whole premise of that talk is how your thoughts affect your health. And if you think positive, the results, and if you think negative, the results. And this is where, mm-hmm. I think for people who are listening, of course, we're doing this podcast because it's around Valentine's Day and it's love. But we always think about love as just love for a romantic partner. And that's so not the case. And if you're somebody who, whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, you know, I think it's really important to us as human beings to start to give more love to strangers and to our neighbors and to other people just in general. And that could be something as simple as, you know,
and other living things too, yeah. Not just people.
But saying, you know, when you get a coffee from somebody at, you know, your local coffee shop, look them in the eyes and say, thank you very much. And like connect, you know, like even I was also reading, sorry, this is one other thing, I'm going on a bit of a tangent, but the other thing too, I always do, and I, you know, you see so many people who, there's homeless people on the street and they just walk right by, and these people, you know, try to ask them for money and they just walk by and they don't even look at them. They don't acknowledge them. It's like, they're just
like, they're not even human beings.
Yeah. Like this person did not just speak to you just because you're irritated, yeah. You know, like you could still just look at them in the eye and say, no, sorry, I don't have any extra change. And you know what? Yes. You know, that's okay to say too. You don't have to give your money. You choose who you donate your charitable donations to, right? Just mm-hmm. because someone asks you, you don't have to give it, but you can give that person respect and you can give them acknowledgement, which is all we truly all want in this world. We want to feel seen. We want to feel heard. So it's like that, even that interaction is connection, and that showing love for another human being and respect for another human being. So I just think we need more of that kindness. I think we need more of that awareness around love. And just hopefully this podcast, with even talking about a few of the chemical reactions that happen. And even if you're like, I'm not really a chatty person, just think, I literally am helping this person get healthier by me saying, damn girl, that's a good sweater on you. You look fierce. And she's like, yeah, thanks. Big smile on her face, happy. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you're helping another human being.
Totally. No, and just to add to that, you know, like when you were saying, like, it's, you know, it doesn't just necessarily have to be about like the, we always think of it as the romantic side. It doesn't necessarily have to be about that. It can be about companionship. I can tell you my personal, my grandfather now, he's passed away now, but when he was alive, my nanny passed away when she was very young. She was in her early 60s. And my grandfather, I'm not joking, was so healthy and happy and everything else. And when she passed away, he became so lonely that he just started to deteriorate. He stopped eating. He really wasn't taking care of himself. He just started losing all sort of feeling of hope and happiness because he was so lonely and it was killing him. You could see it. You could see him just becoming sick and tired and just giving up. And then he met a lady. And when he met her, she was actually much younger than he was. And a lot of people were very opposed to this because of the age difference, because they felt as though it was just wrong or whatever. A lot of the family members. And I remember I was young at the time, but I remember thinking, who cares? They have a lot in common, even with the age difference. They both liked bagpiping and they liked oatmeal and they liked to travel, and like they were kind of the same, even though they had this huge age gap. And it wasn't about, for them, it was a companionship. They would travel to Scotland together. They would play the pipes together and they'd hang out. And my grandfather lived for so much longer you know, like he lived such a full life after, and he spent all of his time with this woman. And I am so grateful for her, because I feel like she came in and saved his life. Because even though we were trying, we would have my grandfather over for dinner. I remember every week he'd come over for dinner and he would be a part of our life, but he needed that constant companionship because he was so heartbroken and alone from my nanny passing. And I truly believe that Bev saved his life, and I'm so grateful for it. But I think it really has to do with just the fact that he needed a companion. It wasn't just about the romantic side of it. Maybe it was, maybe I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but I do know that for him, it was all about this companion, and she changed his life.
And, well, no, and I
you know,
see.
So you never know.
But I see that a lot too with my mom's friends, you know, who have been married before, their children are older, they've decided they don't ever want to be in a romantic relationship again, had bad divorces, mm-hmm. and that's their choice because they're traveling with their girlfriends, they've got their kids and their grandkids, and they're very active there, and they're not lonely. I think where the problem comes in is when there is that full on, if you're not okay with, you know what I mean, like living on your own and having interaction, it's when, that's when the issue comes in more. I think if you, whether you have a romantic partner or not, you know, there's so many different things out there you can join. So if you're feeling really lonely, start looking at those local, like there's local sports teams or clubs or trivia nights, or, you know, there's paint nights or exercise classes. Like there's mm-hmm. so many things that you can do to get out and not just be behind the computer joining a group.
I was just going to say, but yeah, let's try to break away from like the online groups and mentality of being behind a screen connecting, because we need that in person.
Yeah.
We need it so much in today's society.
It's good for your health. Or just go pay for a massage. The good.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The good kind. Not the shady kind. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean.
The RMT kind.
Yeah. If you know what I mean, you know what I mean. But even then, if that's what you got to do, no judgment. This is your life. Yeah. But it goes back to everything we talk about. I mean, we talk so much about mindset on this podcast, and I know we got to wrap it up, but we talk about so much about mindset. We talk so much about positivity, words of love, thoughts of love, actions of love. And it truly is just really boils down to keeping it positive and, you know, just being there for other human beings in whatever capacity that can be. Just really try. And that's something that I'm trying to, I always try to be really involved with my friends and my family, but just trying to be a little bit more like, okay, no, I'm not skipping the phone calls. No, I'm not, you know, missing out on the tea date that I made because I'm tired. Like I'm trying to keep up with those things. So make it a year of connections.
Perfect. On that note, we are going to wrap this up because I think that was a great wrap up. As we were talking about, we were just talking about love and how it affects your health, but just also not only the chemical responses, but also, of course, how you can start making those changes and small things you can do on a day-to-day basis to start increasing, you know, the dopamine or your endorphins or the one that I can't say.
Norepinephrine.
So whatever it is, but just get out there and put yourself out there and be kind to everyone and just, you know, take in the love and spread love and all those good things. So thank you all so much for listening. Enjoy your Valentine's Day. Enjoy your day of love, celebration of love. And of course, as always, check us out, fitchicksacademy.com. You can check out, we have our upcoming fitness and nutrition expert certification program. We also have our holistic nutrition weight loss expert program on there. So you can check those out under our programs. And also if you want to connect with us, check us out on social media at fitchicksacademy. And email us info@fitchicks.ca if you have any questions, comments, or if you want to, you know, share any topic ideas that you'd like to hear about. We are here for you. So thanks again for listening, and we will chat with you again next week. Oh, wait, next week is
our online summit.
Yeah.
We will not have a podcast next week, but go to fitchicksacademy.com/summit and you can get your free seat.
Yeah. Full 5 days of interviews with amazing experts. Do not miss it. You will be so sad if you do.
It's true.
All right, everyone. Have an amazing day, and we will talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.